Again, it's a privilege to be here. I'm thankful to God for his mercies. I'm thankful to God for the brethren here. Your pastor, Brother Tom Ross, who was kind enough to allow me to share his pulpit this morning. It's a blessing. It is a privilege. And I've met some wonderful people. And the Lord is to be praised for his goodness, for his mercies to people like us. We are not deserving of any good thing at his hands. Yet in his mercies and his love, he would bless us even more than we are able to bear. So I'm thankful to God for the privilege to be here. As I mentioned this morning earlier, I am going to preach on the subject, the missionary church planter. So for my text, first of all, let us turn to Matthew chapter 4. And I'll also be reading from Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18 of chapter 4, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and they followed him." Now I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28 also. Matthew 28 from verse 16. "Then the disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Our Father and our God, we come before thine holy presence, Lord, acknowledging, O God, the fact that we are not worthy, Lord, to stand here. But through your grace, O God, which is ever upon us, Lord, I thank you, God, for this privilege, Lord, to share your word with your people. I pray, O God, that you would give listening hearts to those who are beneath my voice. I pray, O God, that you would challenge us also, O God, to see, God, that there's a need out there. And those of us who are called by your grace, we are the ones who are to fill that need, Lord. Open our hearts unto truth, Lord, and bless us, God. We commit all to thee. I ask, O God, for unction, Lord, that I might minister your word, O God, that you be honored and glorified, O Lord, and that the saints be edified, Lord. Have your will in our lives, O God. We commit all to thee. Bless our loved ones who are not here with us, O God. I pray for the brethren back in Trinidad, Lord. May all things be done to thine honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In the first part of the text that I read there, it reveals the calling of the Lord's disciples. He called them with a promise that he will make them fishers of men. In the second part of the text, we notice where he had appointed a meeting where he gave the church, those 11 disciples who were there, he gave them their marching orders, and today we would call that the Great Commission. Those marching orders were for them to go and actually continue with the mission that Jesus had started there. Now every disciple, every believer is a missionary in a sense. But there are some missionaries who have special calling. In this case, my subject this morning is actually about the church planter missionary. I can identify with that because when the Lord called me, that's what I went out to do. The first thing that I did, I sold my house and moved into another village where I believe I was led of the Lord. And there I built a house, promising God that within 1 year, by his grace, I was going to start a church building. There was no one to help. Nobody knew me. I did not have any contacts in the States or anywhere or with any mission board or anything. But I just trusted the Lord. And nothing was opening up before me. The last day for it to make a year, I was a building contractor. I went and I lined up the building. I pulled my levers, got my measurements, and I started digging footings myself. I had promised within 1 year I was going to start a building. And by God's grace, the last day to make that year, I started the building. As we kept on, little by little, whatever offering would come in, whatever money I could put in, nothing was being done. Actually, we weren't getting anywhere quickly. And I sat down and talked to my wife. I said, "Jean, I believe we need to mortgage our house." I trusted the Lord. We mortgaged the house for $10,000 then in materials. The hardware owner, he scolded me in the sense that what he was giving me for $10,000, he actually cut it down after I'd signed the mortgage. But anyhow, I was able to plant that church here by God's grace. I believe that is what God had called me. So I am somewhat qualified to talk about the church planter missionaries, because since the Lord called me as a preacher, that is where I've been. There are some thoughts I would like to share about the missionary, and as we give heed to God's word, I trust that if God has anyone within this congregation to call as a missionary, that what I'm saying here this morning would somewhat be a blessing to you, and it may somehow encourage you. First of all, let us look at the missionary. He must be a man called of God. He must be called of God. Many persons have called themselves. And how do we know this? This is seen in the many false religious groups. Some of them have started churches that are built upon extra-biblical visions. And they might be religious. They would tend to start works, and you would see they're coming into some con man relationship with people and all these sort of things. And we have a lot of examples of them here today. They might have big names as churches, but actually they're synagogues of Satan. God's man, when he is called, God not only calls a man, but he also equips that man. And he equips that man with truth. God would not call someone who would be a shame and a disgrace to his name. So we find that the missionary, he must be a called man of God. And this is seen, as I said, those who have called themselves by the many false religious groups that we have existing amongst us today. Jesus gave the commission only to the church, not individuals, not mission boards, nor religiously inclined groups. So the missionary must not only be a called man, but he must be called from within the Lord's church. He must be called from within the Lord's church. Not a mission board. Not religious groups. He must be called from within the Lord's church. And when he is called from within the Lord's church, he ought to be a man who is totally surrendered unto the will of God. What is God's will for the missionary? We find it in the second text that we read there. He says to go and make disciples. He says to baptize them. And then he says to indoctrinate them in the word of God, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And the promise that he gave to his church is that that church will be perpetuated, for he says, "Lo, I am with you always." And so we find the missionary, he must be a called man of God. He must be a man who is called from within the Lord's church, and his purpose for being called is to go and make disciples and to teach the things, baptizing them, teach the things commanded by Christ. Now, in recognition of the missionary's calling, we would notice that the church planter, that missionary, he would be totally surrendered to God. How do I know that? I find a good example in Acts chapter 9. If you turn to Acts chapter 9, we would begin our reading there from verse 3. Speaking about Saul there, it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. When God calls a man, that man, in recognition of that call, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. Beloved brethren, nothing comes in the way of his calling. When you are called of God, nothing comes in the way of your calling. Whatever hindrance may come there might be hindrances, there might be objections that are raised and so forth. But I tell you something, when God calls a man, God works out all things for that man to carry out the calling which God had called him unto. Amen. Beloved brethren, now in order to do the Father's will, to do it in an orderly manner, his call must be recognized by his church. And he must have the approval of the church that he belongs to. Amen. God doesn't call a man within a church and have confusion coming out of that. The Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. So when he calls a man, the church recognizes that calling. We find a good example in Acts chapter 13. Let us turn our Bibles here. We find in Acts chapter 13, reading from verse 1, it says, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They were called from within the Lord's church. And these men who were called, they were not dunces. They were equipped for the ministry that God had called them to. For the Bible says they were educated in the word of God. They were prophets and they were teachers. And the church recognized their calling, and the church granted a commissioning of them to go out into the ministry. Amen. Nobody takes it upon themselves to go out in a ministry. We are to go under the authority of one of the Lord's church. That is a God-called missionary. And it doesn't matter how much zeal you may think you have. It doesn't matter how much education you may think you have within Christianity and so forth. But when it comes to God's way, there has to be order and decency. And so, beloved brethren, the missionary ought to be a man who's called from God's church. He's totally surrendered to the will of God and so forth. He wants to do what God wants, what God called him to do. Secondly, we want to look at the missionary's message that he has. The message of the missionary should always be Christocentric. Christ has to be the central part of all our ministering. He is the central theme of the Bible. The Bible tells us that he is God, a very God. He is the revealed Jehovah of the Old Testament unto us. And so, even as Matthew 1:21 says, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. The name Jesus itself tells us, Jehovah saves. And also we look at Matthew 1:23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus himself said in John 10:30, he says, I and the Father are one. And that is a message we are to preach. We are to preach the incarnate God there. We are only saved, the Bible says, in no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Amen. We are to preach the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that if you're a missionary out there, you ought not to tell people about secular education and all these things. But what I'm saying, our central message has to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus saves. That is the message. Why? Because he is a perfect man of sorrows. He is the one who suffered and died for us. He died for his own. For Isaiah says in 53, Verses 3 till 6, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He is the one, the Bible says, who is a perfect man of sorrows. He is the only one who suffered and died for us. And he is the one we are to be preaching. From every pulpit that we go, by God's grace, we are to preach that Jesus Christ says that his blood, without the shedding of his blood, there was and is and will never be remission for sins.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And those are the messages that we are supposed to preach as God's people. Beloved brethren, Jesus tells us that he is the king, that he is the shepherd. And as his shepherd, we are to tell people that that shepherd says, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they will follow me. He said they will not follow a stranger. And when we go out there, we are to preach that message with full confidence. The message of the missionary is not just to preach about Jesus. Sometimes we can be so only preaching on basic things like feeding milk to the children all the time. We have to graduate from milk and go into sound doctrine also. And so we find that the message is not only about Jesus says, but the message also should be about sound doctrine. We must emphasize the importance of sound doctrine. It is a shame and a disgrace when missionaries go out there and they start ministries and people are saved and the preachers do not preach the fundamental truths of the Word of God. Beloved brethren, sometimes we got to... I never liked election when I first heard of it. I never liked it. The flesh in me fought it. But when I saw the beauties of God's Word and I started reading men like A.W. Pink, Butner, and the Reformed Doctrines of Predestination... I never been to a Bible school, by the way. I don't have any formal training as a preacher. But God called me, and that was enough for me. But when I saw these truths, they meant so much to me. And the child of God, Brother Matt and I were talking, when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they will follow me. He said, Matt and I were talking, and we were discussing that, and one of the things he said that when that sheep hear his voice, the sheep listens for the voice of the master, not the other voices there, the wrong doctrine. And the sheep will follow the voice of the master into strong doctrine, sweet doctrine, beautiful doctrine, as tough as they might be. That's why we ought not to be afraid to preach it.
Amen.
I preach sovereign grace. I preach landmark truths wherever I am. I preach things that sometimes I know. I write things on Facebook I know that will make enemies. Not that I want to make enemies, but because I believe these things and I take a stand for them. It can hurt me financially, I know that. But I take a stand for it. When you read some of the stuff I write on Facebook there, and I've stood strong these days, well, I'm kind of taking up with this, traveling here and there and things, so I'm not putting on much stuff on Facebook. But if you get to my website, someone told me when Curtis Pugh had died, and Brother Steve McCool, he said when Curtis Pugh had died and he saw my writing starting to come in there, he thought Curtis Pugh had not died, but there was somebody else like him standing for these things. And that is a real commendation. That is a real commendation. But I write what I believe. And I'm not afraid to write it. So the missionary, he has to preach sound doctrine. We must emphasize the importance of this. Jesus said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Also he said in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me, commit these things. We are to commit these things. The things that we have heard from Paul, not just from him alone, but amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So we are not to be afraid to preach the truth, beloved brethren. Amen. Preach it as God would give it to us. Thirdly, the missionary's method. As we look at the biblical pattern, the Bible says here, the church, the Lord's institution, sent Paul together with Barnabas to plant indigenous churches. Indigenous churches. Not churches that were to be controlled by other bodies in different countries, but indigenous churches who will independently learn to stand on their own feet. Amen. And that is what missionary ministering is about. For we find, the Bible says that, and we go back to Acts chapter 13, verses 1 till 3, the same message here. The church, the Lord's institution, sent them to plant indigenous churches. The church, another thing we notice, the missionary was not told by the churches that supported them where to go. That is his calling. And he ought to know where God is going to send him. Sometimes the Lord's will was clear to him, the missionary. Sometimes the Lord's will was not clear to him. Sometimes he made mistake. We find in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 till 10. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after we come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They were planning to go in a particular region, but the Spirit did not allow them to go there. And they, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. Beloved brethren, sometimes the Lord's will may not be clear to the missionary. And sometimes a missionary may make wrong decisions. But don't hold it against him. God would lead him back in the right place, as we find here. And after churches were planted, through the sending church's authority, elders were ordained and they had self-government. Churches ought to be independent. When God sends a man out there and he plants a church, that church should be an independent church. We are not Catholics. The way that God set it up, the Lord Jesus Christ set it up, is that his churches will be independent. Letters were written unto the churches of Galatia. Even though Paul had planted those churches, most of them there, Paul did not exercise any sort of lordship authority over them. When he wrote advising. He knew that he had no authority. The church that I planted in St. Croix, the First Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, that church here right now, the pastor of that church, you may know Brother Ross Daniel Parks. Do you know Daniel Park? He's a Reformed Baptist, whatever that is. And he's pastoring the church now, and he led the church. They had called him there because of the guy who was a pastor there that we had ordained. He resigned from the church because his wife had some problem. He and his wife had some problem. And Daniel Park came in time, but that guy knew Daniel Park, and Daniel Park is the pastor of Full Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in St. Croix. That church has gone into apostasy in the sense that they're not landmark any longer. But even though I had planted that church, I do not have any authority there. I cannot go and tell them anything. What I had done, I wrote a letter to them. I said, in the capacity as the Apostle Paul writing to churches that he had planted, I am writing in this capacity telling you what you're doing is wrong. And that's all I could have done. Churches are to be planted, but they are to be independent afterwards. We don't hold any kind of authority over them. And as I said, through the sending churches, the elders were ordained, as we find in Acts 14:23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. We find in Titus 1 and 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed them. The missionary must be consistent and committed to the biblical pattern, yet he must be very practical. The missionary is to train the people only to depend on the Lord and themselves. not the missionary supporting churches. Those are some things we have to learn as we go along. We train the people never to depend on America. Sometimes we have to depend on America. But we have to train the people that tithing is their responsibility. We have to train the people, taking care of their pastor is their responsibility. Now, if you're a missionary who goes from church to church, that's different. Like in my case, I am a missionary pastor right now, but normally I would go and start churches. So the people have to be trained in that. And when you train them there, they have to learn to support their own churches, indigenous churches. Something, I don't know if y'all would know this so much, but it may take the same amount of money it would take to maintain and to take care of an American missionary on a foreign field. Sometimes you can have five locals on that same money. You can have five local preachers and teachers on that same money. We generally are not accustomed with all the niceties that you all enjoy here. I was telling Matt a few days ago, I said, I can eat leftovers this morning, lunchtime, tonight, tomorrow morning, lunchtime, the following evening. I can eat leftovers upon leftovers all the time. I'm accustomed to that. It's no big thing with me. In the morning, all I want is a little bowl of oats. I'm happy with that. That's all I want. And if I eat a banana with it, that's fine. But we can survive on little. We can survive on little. That is why I always try to advocate. Another important thing, when you are a missionary out there, or for instance, Americans would go down in certain places to be missionaries, never ever try to deculturize those who sit under your ministry. Never try to deculturize them. We may not agree with some of the things. You know, a good example is found, never deculturize and never criticize negatively if you're a missionary. You do what Apostle Paul did when he went there and he preached the Ephesians, they of themselves. They took their books and they burned it. What did Paul do? He preached Christ and him crucified. And that is the message. When we preach that message and the Spirit of God works in the hearts of those who hear those messages, they themselves would reject all that is not godly. They would do it. So, beloved brethren, I've learned in my ministry not to try to deculturize people. When I was saved by God's grace, now, we used to eat with our fingers. We would take the rice and the spinach and all these things and mix them together with our fingers and we'd put it to our mouth, you know. When I was saved, that didn't mean I had to get a knife and fork. I still eat like that, you know. We don't deculturize people. We teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And within their own culture, let them grow in grace and grow in knowledge of the Lord. So, beloved brethren, as I said, if the converts were previously pagan or sick idolaters, do not criticize neither their religion nor their gods, but preach Christ and him crucified, and the Holy Spirit will do his work. As we find in Acts chapter 19 and verse 17. Finally, the missionary's motive in planting churches. Why does he want to plant churches? Because God called him. Obedience to his calling. Obedience to his calling, which gives him a personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 15. You love me, then keep my commandments. Obedience to our calling, as to obedience to the commission entrusted in the Lord's church, that's why we want to go where Jesus calls us. He says, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. It's a three-pronged responsibility. And then he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus Christ promised that. That is why my motive in planting churches is because God called me and I want to be obedient to that call. 69 years old, and I'm still kicking. I'm still willing to work hard. I'm a mason carpenter. I'm still willing to work hard. I can still dig dirt with a fork. I can still mix concrete with a shovel. What are my motives? Not only obedience to my calling, but to glorify the Lord in His churches. The Bible tells us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3:21. We want to plant churches because through the churches, God gets His glory. They're heavenly places. This morning you're set in heavenly places. And that is what, unto Him be glory in the church. Why am I a missionary? Because there's a burden inside of me. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that winneth souls, or he that seeketh souls, is wise. And I want to fulfill that burden inside of me. I seek souls. The songwriter says, go out and win. Rescue from sin. The day is almost done. And low sinks the sun. Souls are crying. Men are dying. Won't you win a loss at any cost? Amen. And that has been a part of my ministry. To do my part in fulfilling God's promise. In His word in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is a promise to God's elect. And in that promise, I, as a minister of the gospel, as a missionary called by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that is part of my responsibility. I mentioned last night at King's Edition, we are the final torchbearers, it seemed like. Pretty soon the Lord may burst the clouds of glory. But we are the torchbearers who have a story to tell. And we are to go with this story and tell people the story that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Beloved brethren, Jesus Christ, our Lord, went on the cross of Calvary. He says, no man take my life from me. He says, I lay down my life for my sheep. And He went on the cross of Calvary, gave Himself a ransom for His sheep. And He died, beloved brethren. And He says that if we look upon Him, if we trust Him as our Lord and Savior, we receive Him as Christ our Lord in our lives, then we will be assured of spending eternity with Him. That is a message we have. That is a message we are to go with. And what do I expect from my master because of this? One day He's going to tell me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can I save anyone? No. But I have a message that God's Holy Spirit can take and quicken the hearts of those who are dead in trespasses and sins. God's Spirit can take that message. And just as the dead bones were given life, so too, those of us who are dead in trespasses and sin, that Spirit of God can put life into us, that we can say, Abba, Father. And I'm so thankful to God this morning that I can stand here sharing this message with you. We need missionaries out there. If God has called you, listen, don't think you're too feeble or you might be too dumb or whatever. God will take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He will take it and He will use it to His honor and glory. But I want to encourage you, whatever calling that God has given to you, do not sit on it. Do not sit on it. Go out there. There's work to be done. And the Lord is going to come soon. He's going to come soon. May God grant us the grace that we can be faithful to the calling that He has called us unto. God bless you.
Amen. I'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Truth is truth.